This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is up, Dolph fans? We are back here for hour number 2 of the fifth quarter overtime show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. We heard from head coach Mike McDaniel and broke that down. We just heard from quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who was victorious for the 4th straight time over these Patriots, and head coach Bill Belichick. The Miami Dolphins are victorious 4 times in a row. It's all about the team, right? He made that point. Mike McDaniel made that point. But Seth, plenty to get to here with Tua's press conference. I want to go ahead and throw it to you first, my friend, our press conference consigliere. What you got, man?
I like that title, by the way. Good. Thank you very much. So, what stood out to me more than anything was Mike McDaniel has confidence in Tua and the rest of the team. And Tua feels that, right? And he did say it a lot, but I think it's what was needed. It's clearly what was necessary. I think you've seen an entirely different Tua Tagovailoa this entire offseason, right? I mean, from his approach to his performance, we talked earlier about his performance on the field, but I'm saying all through training camp, the way he's carried himself, the leadership, the C on the jersey, all of that. And he feels that his coach has his back. He believes in his coach. He believes in the plays that he's calling. He was surprised that they went for it. Juice, you made a point. You said, I don't want him to be surprised. I want him to be begging the coach to go for it at that moment. And he'll get there because he knows that his coach has his back.
Right.
And so I think that was my biggest takeaway there. I thought the communication error thing was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear more about that and what was going on. And so it was almost like they were freestyling a little bit there, which – maybe, gives us a little bit more clarity on some of what we saw, but it didn't look like they were confused. It didn't look like they were disorganized.
That's the key right there, right? That's the key.
Yeah.
What's the product?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty impressive. And he's never had a chance to speak to Bob Greasy, so someone's got to set that up. He's got to set that up.
Big Seth, you can do that, right?
I don't know that it would be me.
He knows people that know that can do that for him.
He does know
6
people.
Degrees
he
of
knows,
separation to people. Bob Greasy, for sure.
Man, think about it, man. We're celebrating 50 years of perfect season, so
this would be
Bob's going to be around. He's going to be around, and we need to get Bob involved, and he needs to be able to speak to Tua. You know what I mean? Cause obviously, Tua wasn't born in the 72 season. I was born. You little turds weren't, but it's all good, though.
Turds? Okay.
I mean, that's what they call the Young Bucks these days, I guess. This is the first time we've been put in the same ass.
That was the old manest thing that you could have possibly said. That you were. And how did this, wait a second, we've gone off the rails again.
Completely off the rails here. But, I mean, that's what we're doing here. And, you know, I thought for a moment there that he took the mic or that you jumped in and took the mic because he called analytics logistics.
Logistics. Well, no, in fairness to him, they asked him what the logistics were on that play.
Oh, okay.
And so what he was saying is, look, I don't know the logistics behind that play call. I just know when it came in,
right.
I had to go out there and show what the Tyreek Hill proclaimed most accurate quarterback in the NFL does
right.
in the biggest moments. And so, you know, again, going back to what Coach McDaniel said, deliberate practice leads to what in the biggest moments. And so
right.
we saw it. He wasn't perfect today. We know that. We talked about it. But when he needed to be perfect on that play, he was. And it was a different
Dude, that was, I mean, honestly, to fit that in there on fourth down, that was a fit. And trusting Waddle to be where he's supposed to be when
yeah.
he wants to be there,
yeah.
that was an incredible throw and catch and route.
And play call.
Everything.
Play call for sure. But, I mean, to have the you know what, to make that play call.
Tyreek Hill cleared that up yeah. for you. Wheelbarrels, baby.
If you're a South Park fan, there's a gif of Randy Marsh carrying around what Tyreek had mentioned there in a wheelbarrow himself. So it's good company to be in. It certainly is a bravado
yeah.
that
we yeah.
that Seth mentioned that was the big takeaway with Tua was, and then also how many times did he say the name Mike. He kept
yeah.
saying, well, Mike this, Mike that.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that point. That's a great point right there, man. That relationship is amazing. You know, and that's a comfortable environment.
Yeah.
It makes a comfortable environment. So you're saying coach this or Mr. this. Imagine that, you know.
And it feels genuine.
It's 100%. So genuine. You can tell this. They've got that one-on-one, that personal relationship with each other. And I'm sure the rest of the guys probably feel the same way, but they don't get the podium like Tua does. But Tua's telling us how it is around that locker room. And I was saying that, you know, and I always got to go back to my own history. Penn State, we always – nobody was coach anything other than first name. And they want to make it that special, that more relaxed that way, you know what I mean? It was never Coach Paterno. It was always Joe, you know what I mean? Fran was our offensive coordinator. It wasn't Coach Ganner, you know what I mean? Things like that. And I love that fact that that's the same way it is with these guys. They feel that personal relationship, and he creates that environment. You know, we're not gonna bash or talk about anything else that's already happened, but the environment so far is telling us that it's a good environment for winning and a great environment for learning and getting better. You know, and that's what
that
I'm seeing.
That last part.
Yeah.
That last part.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing from this right here.
Yeah, I'm very excited about next week. I know we're on the postgame show, and despite Seth's best efforts last year, we didn't get ahead of ourselves and talk about, was it the Tampa game after the Colts game that we
needed to turn the page. I tried to tell you guys.
He tried to get me off the – he's looking out for
me. I was trying to save Juice's job, A, and B, I was trying to stop the snowball effect that ended up being a 7-game losing streak. So if more people had listened to me and turned the page, we would have been fine. Seems crazy then. Maybe I was on to something now, but right now we're going to bask in the glory of 1-0.
You're damn straight we are. It definitely feels like we maybe won't have to get to that point. Who knows? We did win opening day last year, so we'll see how it plays out. But man,
felt different though, Travis.
Felt way different.
I think it's same team, different feeling.
Everyone's
Xavier Howard had to save the day
sure.
and make the put. They were the dominant team. Still left meat on the bone. Should have, could have, right? All of those things. But did you ever feel worried? Did you ever feel that that one play was going to cost you the game? And so I just
– And that's a great –
It's a whole different feeling.
That's a great point right there, Big
Seth. Well,
thank you. That's a great point because
– One more time.
It's a great point, Big Seth, because honestly, you know, we've been there like in the situations like, oh, my God, what are we going to do to blow this?
Right.
I didn't feel that way today.
At all.
I didn't feel that way at all, man. That's such a great point, bro. And I was like, you know, our defense is playing well. Our offense is playing well enough at that point. We playing well early. But I was like, I never felt like, you know, once we're up where we were good. I thought we were good to win the game. Might not have been a blowout that I might have wanted. I always
right.
want a blowout, though, you
know?
But at the same time, though, we felt good about where we were for the whole, honestly, for the whole 60 minutes.
maybe a little bit of nerves in that opening drive, and but then once they got the defensive touchdown, I was pretty in the bag at that point.
Yeah. I was hoping this was going to get asked in to a press conference. In fact, I tried to implore upon some of our friends.
We talked to people, and if
we weren't so worried about same quarterback, different playmakers, sure. and the other thing sometimes there's a questioning of the authenticity of the relationship between the coach and the quarterback, and so it's interesting conversations that are had in that press conference, and I'm not calling any individuals out. It's just interesting narratives that come out of that press conference. But I had asked somebody, hey, I want to know what happened on that first play. Help it was obviously out. A high snap. Tua did a great job bringing it in. I don't know that maybe he was a little bit rattled, but all I know is that Tyreek Hill was streaking down
nobody
the field. Nobody around him. This wasn't even about being the cheetah. You know, he could have been the hippopotamus there. He was wide open. I don't know what happened on that play, but Tua kind of one-hopped and bounced past. And so I wanted to know what that was, because it's not, you know, people say whatever they want about Tua's arm. He can make that throw. He'll make that throw 99 times out of 100. So I don't know what he saw. I was hoping somebody would say it. I don't know if the ball slipped out of his hands, if he was trying to compose himself because of the high snap. You felt that perhaps there was a miscommunication. I'd love to get Juice's feedback on that. But I really wanted to know what happened, because can you imagine that you get the turnover, right, the incredible play, and then first play from scrimmage, if Tua just threw a laser and Tyreek is just streaking down there, and I would hope he would do the Randall Hill and run into the tunnel and just keep going out to the parking lot and check on his car or whatever. We didn't get to see any of that. We got the victory at the end, but we didn't get to see any of that, and I really want to know what happened on that throw.
What do you think? I thought it looked like Tua thought he was going to settle down in that hook zone, but obviously they saw something that there was nobody out there, so let's keep going deep. Do you know the play we're talking about?
Yeah,
did you have
I do.
A thought on that?
Right, yeah, I do. And I the miscommunications, it's unbelievable right there, especially. But here's the thing about it. You know, Tyreek is a guy that he can put his hand up anytime and say, I'm gone. You know what I mean?
You gotta look for that.
You gotta see that I'm gone. That's not I'm gone situation. You know,
I'd have felt better if he overthrew.
I think Randy Moss did it all the time. Like, I'm gone. Yeah. I'm supposed to run this, but I'm gone. You know, Tyreek could probably do that. You know, most of the times he runs a route, he could probably put his hand up. So I'm gone.
Hopefully,
you know,
a coaching point.
So I think that this is, like you said, a coaching point and learning point right there between those two. And so the miscommunication is something we got to correct. Because we're missing big opportunities right there. And you only get so many big opportunities in this league. And when we have them, we get something like that, an opportunity where you can see Cheetah running free like that, got to find a way to get at him. So we got to figure out what the disconnect was right there in that situation.
This place would have blown the canopy off of this place if that would have happened.
Right away, like, let's go. It's over. It's over.
We're done.
And you know what? And all the freaking New England fans that were here, they would have felt the same thing. Like, here we go. We got to deal with this for how long now? You know what I mean?
By the way, seeing them out in the hallway was pretty nice.
That's a beautiful thing always.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's always a beautiful thing, man, when they come. But I'm going to tell you this. Let me give it up to our Dolphin fans while we got a shot there. While we're talking about that, finally, we own this stadium today. Representing in this stadium today. Of course, you're going to get people that live here that are from New England area, people that are coming here and enjoy our weather. But for the most part, our Dolphins showed up, didn't give their tickets away to anybody else, and they were loud and proud today, man. That's what I'm waiting to hear. It's going to get bigger and better. You know, we got some games that have some teams that come that are going to come in here that have a great following. Some of these teams have been around for 100 years. And then a lot of them live down here in South Florida. Who wouldn't live down here in South Florida?
It's paradise.
But the fact that our fans showed up and showed out and made a lot of noise, man, it was a beautiful thing. I could hear it. I could hear our team on defense. You know, I could hear us be quiet on offense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was finally getting back to the stadium where it's a home stadium for us, man. So kudos to the staff and you know, to people that sold out this stadium. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins people that have sold out the seats and the suites and everything is sold out. But also for the people that, you know, they're Dolphins that showed up and then give their tickets to people that, you know what I mean, that could be – look, I've had tickets for years. If somebody says it's from the other team, they're not getting my tickets. I will eat those tickets and take that loss, you know what I mean? Same thing for a lot of people today. They use their tickets today. A lot of Dolphins out there. It was loud. It was proud. It was hot. It was amazing.
And there was a key false start, too, early in the game. A third medium back to third and like 12
huge.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's where this defense just completely feasts. So that's it all plays together. It's all complementary of one another. We have drive of the game coming up next. I also have a point I want to make on the Tua press conference there, my final word, if you will. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. Just visit Publix.com. Terms and conditions apply. We're going to go to the drive of the game here in just 1 second, but I wanted to finish off the point there about Tua talking at the end of that press conference, because you guys know that I'm going to love when he talks about X's and O's and what he saw on a play, and I loved it when he gets asked to break down a specific play, because he leads in the same way every time. Well, you know, it's cover one, and they just is so nonchalant about
safety,
it. I love
yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm going to pull a juice here and name drop. So it was on draft night when he was selected. I was the first one to talk to him.
Wait, whoa. I don't name drop that often, do I?
So did are you pulling a juice or did Juice pull a Wingfield?
Yeah, he did. I'm trying to flip the field like Thomas Morstead does when he punched the ball 58 yards while getting clobbered by an oncoming pass rush. But that's what I'm doing out here. So I talked to him after the draft night. He broke down the Devontae Smith touchdown in the national championship to win that game, and he was, you know, we wanted to take the bender to the inside, but he squeezed that. We went back to the outside, and I just love the way he breaks it down and sees it with that recall juice. Yeah. It seems like sometimes we have these critiques where, like, this could have been better, maybe a little bit faster on this, but it does seem like after the fact that it really clicks for him. How can he apply that and really make it, you know, take that step and see those things before they happen when it comes to, you know, on the field?
Yeah, man, it really does, man. Let's go back to the preseason game. We saw him out there, you know, visualizing, working by himself on the field, man. Visualization is huge for especially with quarterbacks. And then you look at, you know, going into a Saturday night before a game, and all the film you've watched, but you've seen all this film before. Everything you see on Saturday night in a hotel, you've seen it before. Now sometimes you gotta sit there and visualize how my team is gonna still apply this defense, going against this defense, this route, this play call. How are we gonna be able to go out there and apply this and still execute it as well? I'm intrigued, and I love it how they can recollect on how, you know, guys do things within the moment. I forget everything. I'm still at a point right now where I don't even remember. You know, I caught three touchdowns one time here, but I don't, unless I look at the film again, I don't know what the hell I did in those. You know, I mean, one of them was
one,
I don't even know, but I know that, you know, I got these touchdown balls that Big Seth worked out with me that I was hanging in my game room.
And I know you've forgotten, but you didn't pay me on that, so you still owe me a couple $100.
All right, bet.
Yeah,
bet.
I got you. I'm here to remind you.
Cash App, Zelle, or how do you do it?
I'm more of a Venmo guy, believe it or not.
Bet. But his recollection, man, and just, you know, just being able to go out there and see, you know, and visualize it. And that's part of it, man. And then going out and executing is the same thing, you know. And so to be able to recollect, it reminds me a lot of Tiger Woods, too. Like, I hit a 7-iron here, and then I hit a pitching wedge, and I – what? On what?
Right.
What? I played golf 2 days ago. I have no idea what clubs I use on any
– maybe one shot.
But that's good, though, that he can put that away, take notes on it, and then learn from it.
You know what else is good? He doesn't get too high or too low. Yeah. And, you know, I know Travis was the first one to have him on draft day. But when Tua was on the fish tank, you know, I don't know, you can look it up on YouTube. The Dolphins did a great job over there. It's got about 50,000 views. So when Tua was on the fish tank, he talked about that same play, Travis. And he said, if you go back and watch it, the only guy who wasn't celebrating, everybody was going nuts. He said, I probably should have been celebrating.
Right.
But it was just kind of what was expected of him, and it was never good enough. And so, you know, when you look at this, and I just read a beat writer from, from not a South Florida beat writer that was here covering the Patriots, and for whatever reason they were talking about Tua's arm or some throws that were missed. Tua knows that he wanted more out of today's game.
Absolutely.
He knows that there's an opportunity to go out there and could have hung 35 points, right, instead of 20 or even more. And he's not going to get too high and not going to get too low, and you know he's going right back to the drawing board. So I think that's something else.
So was this writer trying to clown my quarterback? Was he trying to talk trash about my quarterback?
Yeah, but you got to consider the source, number one. But number two, yeah, I don't even know. I'm not even going to get into it.
it's a smart play.
Because I can go there. I'm going to go there, you know what I mean? Because the other quarterback looked like trash to me. So if you want to talk about my quarterback and your quarterback was trash like that, come on, man. Don't throw stones when you live in a glass house, man. You know, so, yeah. All right, so go ahead, Big Seth. I'm done with it, man.
Please,
I need the information on that. You know,
Pick up your phone, Juice. I mean, we're sitting here working. It's on Twitter.
He does have a back injury and did not speak
like
to the media
that.
After the game today. That's
I
Matt
did
Jones.
Hear that.
So
I
that's,
did hear that.
Dolphins definitely got the best of the Patriots quarterback in this one today. And, you know, you guys talk about him celebrating. I do enjoy seeing him enjoy himself, and he did after that one today. You know, it was the play that he broke down for us. It was also the biggest play of the day for Miami. And with that, let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities with Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event. Now through September 6th, learn more at Lexus.com/offers. A 10-play, 92-yard drive took 3 minutes and 47 seconds off the clock, and it was capped with this pass from Tua to Jalen Waddle.
Raheem Mostert is the running back.
Wow.
They're going for it. Tua. Oh, Ramilli's got
a first down,
and a touchdown from Waddle.
What a gutsy call.
Jalen Waddle.
We got the Penguin in the end zone, too. Boy, is that nice to see. What a call!
And what a throw by Tua!
Jimmy, I've surprised everybody else. They go for it, and Tua makes a perfect throw, and Jalen Waddle does the rest.
Jimmy is winning me over today, man. The drawn out Jalen Waddle, that was great. And then the what a throw from Tua. That's what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, Joe Rose. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Joe Rose is a national treasure. We know that already. But, man, Juice, the location of that throw. There was three Patriots defenders there. And, you know, it looked like a minute like Kyle Duggar might come up and lay a stick or, you know, the underneath defender might get it. But that ball was perfectly located. And it kind of left him confused, it seemed like.
Dude, I was shocked. For one, for even run the play.
Yeah.
And start from the beginning of that. But the play, the location, and to finally get Waddle involved, man.
Longest touchdown of his
career. Yeah, getting Waddle involved right there. And we know once he catches it, it's a wrap. Once he catches it, remember how many times we talked about him last year. He was catching the ball, but he's working his way back to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, Juice has that game ball look in his eye.
Working back to the line of scrimmage. When you get him going vertical, Who's going to run him down? Who's going to be able to stop
clearly
that?
Clearly nobody today.
If you can get it in there, man, Waddle, man, that was beyond exciting because, for one, going for it on fourth down. For two, turning what was the first down, like Jimmy talked about, into a touchdown.
Right.
You know, and that momentum of four to have. It's amazing. Great play, great ball, great grab, and great score.
And guys, it's not just the play of the game. This is the drive of the game, right?
Drive, the whole
Let's
thing,
not
yeah.
forget, they get the yeah. ball back at 4:05. We have 4 minutes and 5 seconds on the clock on our own 8-yard line. You go three and out there, even with as great as Morstead was, you know, if you go three and out there, that could lead to points for the other team. But they drive the ball 92 yards down the field, and they use all the clock. I mean, that play, there was 24 seconds left in the clock. So the play was amazing, and clearly they got half the yardage on that one play. But it's the drive of the game for a reason. And I think, you know, if you look at their, right, first and 10, second and 9, then they got first and 10 again. They had one third down, well, I guess two, the third and 19. They didn't make it all up on one play, which is what led to that big fourth and
but
seven.
A big play on third down to get the, get what was it, 12 back or something like that?
Yeah, so I'll do the math, right? Third and 19 to fourth and 7.
We've been over this. I don't know.
That's
don't know,
12. So no, you were right. It was good. It was good. So, yes, that's exactly – you threw me off there asking me to do math too. But the point is they got the ball on their own 8-yard line with 4 minutes to go. They had three timeouts, and they march right down the field. That's what you want to see.
Yeah,
we'd love to have 42 points there. I'd love to look up the scoreboard and see 40-something points. Hang 50 on them. I don't care. It's not the way it went down today, but that drive got you the dub.
It was, and I just feel like it was such a demoralizing moment in the game for the Patriots. Like, it's 10-0, you can make a play and get back into it, but 17-0, right, giving the ball back to Miami to start the second half. It was, that was the play of the day for the Dolphins right there, and that was also the drive of the game, your Lexus drive of the game, real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Well, that's another year away from now because we are September 11th. We still have game balls coming your way here next. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. You've got to get to Gunther Mazda in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595 or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X with multi-pro... Whoa, with multi-terrain all-wheel drive with the right tools, anything is possible. I was going to start talking about how cool that rhyme was, and then I was reading and I was trying to think at the same time, and that's how you get that result at the end of the day.
Travis, so, don't think you hurt the team when you think.
You didn't think we need the checkbook. So that's a callback to an inside joke. That's a joke I told you once, Seth. We'll revisit that one of these times. What is not lost on us is the game ball segment. We're going to go ahead and give out game balls right now.
It's time for Travis, Seth, and O.J. McDuffie to hand out their game balls on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
How about that intro?
That was nice.
I think this is where you're supposed to lead us in.
I don't know. I was waiting for some more.
I didn't know what else we were going to get. I thought there was going to be even more. You're right.
No, we like it. Let's go ahead and start here. We're going to throw it to you, Big Seth. You're taking the first game ball off the book right here. What do you got, man?
Well, my game ball is an easy one. It's going to the player of the game. Brandon Jones was everywhere on the field today, guys. So 11 tackles, by the way, career high for tackles. Had the sack. As I told you earlier, he is the best pass-rushing safety in the league. I don't care what anybody else has to say.
Right.
He had 5 last year. He starts off the season with another one this year. So he's got 7 now in his career. And, oh, by the way, when he hits you, the ball is coming out. And if somebody's over there with their head up, that's going to turn into points. And that's what we saw today. I just thought the guy was – he almost had an interception on the next drive. So, I you know, Brandon Jones – I took the easy way out today, guys. He was literally everywhere in the field. Just open your eyes. Number 29 was making a play.
And in a game where you're down Eric Rowe, who had kind of become the tight end eraser here, there was a play where he ran stride for stride up the sideline with Jonnu Smith and forced an incompletion. In fact, it was the play before the strip sack, and then he comes back later, has a pass breakup where he darn near got another pick like you talked about there. So he was all over the field today. Juice, I have a feeling I know where you're going, but maybe you'll surprise me.
No way, man. I was thinking about the guys that were holding the chains today because
I all day every day
got to go offense for one, and then I got to go with Tyreek Hill.
You know,
that's my wide receiver, man, that is out there doing things, and you can tell how important today was for them. They tried to get him involved early in the game. You know, he's a tone setter. You know, I mean, from first play from scrimmage, incomplete pass on him. But then after that, they could find a way to get Tyreek involved. And, of course, with all the targets and all the opportunities, Tyreek's going to be a guy that's going to demand and command a lot of attention, and sure did today, man. So Tyreek Hill is the guy that we traded for. What we did to get a guy that could be the difference maker on offense and bring a lot of guys, to them on defense so our other guys can do well on offense. It was perfect, man. So Tyreek Hill, for sure. Cheetah, all day, every day.
Tyreek Hill is officially a Miami Dolphin now because officially a wide receiver for this team.
That's correct.
Because he has received a game ball from O.J. McDuffie.
From the juice, man. Cheetah up, man. And not only that, I told you, super duper name drop. It's a combination of him and Clay.
I mean, it's Mark Duper approved and O.J. McDuffie approved.
Let's go.
That's pretty good. And I was thinking if you had a second game ball, you might go to Jalen because he was pretty dang special out there.
Second game balls. Here we go. Travis is in regular season form.
I am
Jalen next week.
It's going to happen. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I'm going to stick with one game ball today. I'm going to go back to the defense.
You sure?
And, you know, what's funny is I kind of put together like a second segment here called My Unsung Heroes. So maybe there is more game balls, but we don't actually.
Did you know about the segment? I didn't know about the segment.
I didn't get that script.
Is that after the break here, so we can at least compose ourselves?
We do have 10 more minutes in the segment, so we'd have plenty of time to get to it here. But, you know, we were talking about some Ring of Honor. Should it be for players? We're talking about game ball. Should it be just for the players? I'm going off script. I'm giving it to the defensive coordinator today, Josh Boyer, because you look at that strip sack on Brandon Jones. Yeah. That was a classic overload pressure. You get Melvin Ingram looping around inside as the stunt man around Big Zach Sealer, who just commands attention every
grown
single snap.
What did Mina Kimes made a mention
of
Zach
Sealer.
He's one of the most underrated defensive tackles in the league.
I mean, the guy makes plays every single day. And so he's a big part of that play, occupying space. You get the loop from Ingram inside, and that gives that free track as the left tackle gets his eyes and feet too far inside for Brandon Jones to run that track to the quarterback.
Eyes and feet?
Everything.
Damn.
Everything's inside there.
You got to get outside.
You got to get outside, baby. You're squeezing too much. Then they dial up a third and long play later in the game, and he shows that same zero look. And then he drops everybody out for eight, and the Dolphins rush three. The Patriots have six in pass pro, and as a result, nobody can get open. And it was actually the Mac Jones roughing the passer call, I believe, was the play. But it was such a desperation type of play there because of the defensive call that Josh Boyer called today. So I thought that, you know, 7 points allowed, 271 yards, three takeaways, two sacks. Josh Boyer in his bag, man. First game where he's kind of out of that shadow of, you know, Brian Flores. It's his defense now for sure. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. He comes up with a big-time performance today. So you get Tyreek Hill, Josh Boyer, Brandon Jones. Those are your game balls, guys.
Yeah, I think you keep a team under 300 yards total offense, and that's a big-time
today's
score.
Football, NFL, man,
because it's so easy to get, you know, go the other way. I mean, you could not easily get 100 yards rushing, but it's easy to get over 200-plus yards passing in this game. To keep a team at 271, you know, and they got a quarterback. It's a young quarterback that's up and coming.
Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
I want to hand out one more game ball here in a second, but wait a minute.
Some thought he was trash.
I thought he was.
But I want to do my unsungs first because this is a perfect time to get him in here. Because this is a guy that I talked about so much this training camp, and I was saying, hey, guys, keep an eye on number 38, Kader Kohou. He showed up today, boy.
He did.
He played his butt off. He had a pass breakup on one of the plays downfield from Mac Jones, had that big hit to force a fumble late in the game. And here's a guy from Texas A&M Commerce, comes over to the States from the Ivory Coast because his dad won the lottery,
Won the lottery.
How great of a story is that?
And I feel like we have a winning lottery ticket as well now.
Yeah.
I might. I love that.
That's something we don't even talk about a lot, man. We didn't even talk about Needham having to go outside today.
Good point, Juice.
You know what I mean? And Kohou having to come in and play major minutes today, you know, as a, you know, in the defensive secondary. And that's impressive as well. You talk about Josh Boyer, but let's also talk about Needham being able to go from, you know, it's his nickel spot, but have to play a cover corner all day. You know, I mean, they tried him early, and then he recovered. He got better. You know, he's ready eventually out there, man. The secondary is alone is something that people should not pick on, but Kohu, you know, being able to step in there and make some plays for us as well. That tells you how well we're doing a great job with Josh Boyer as a coach, but also how we're developing these secondary guys to be able to go there and play all these different positions like we talked about on Space the other night. You know, all these guys that are cross-trained and be able to do different positions.
Right.
Go out there and make some plays for us, man. So it was big time, bro. It was big time.
That's Boyer's superpower, though, isn't it? To find these undrafted defensive
every
backs.
Year.
You just mentioned Nick Needham, so I mean he's got a long history of doing that.
Yeah.
And he got another one in Kohu.
That's why I wanted to circle back to him.
When you circle, do we have unsung heroes in this as well?
I got two more. If you guys want to throw some my way,
I mean, do we get a chance? Do we throw them your way? Juice, you have one.
I've got
one, man.
I've got one. I don't know if you're gonna. Okay, so I don't know if I'm gonna take one off your list. But I had no preparation, Travis, so I know you called an audible here. This one goes out to Jason Sarny, and it's going to your boy, yes. Tommy Morstead.
He's on the list.
Okay, well, okay, then he's off your list. He's on my list. Four punts, 183 yards, 45.8-yard average, a net of 42.8. Three of them down inside the 20 and deep, not on the 19.5, yeah. Right? We're talking deep. There was great coverage, big leg. Talk about a guy who could flip the field. But most importantly, did you see him on those holds?
The ground balls he was feeling.
Right.
I mean, you're making a joke out of it, but the first field goal that Sanders hit was a one-hopper. He took it off the ground and put it up, and there you go, field goal made. And then I didn't know this rule. Learned something new today, that if they short-hop a bus.
Whoa. You learned something new today rules-wise?
Yeah. If they short-hop the snap to the punter, you can do whatever you want to. You can rough him up. You can
smack
him.
I did not know that.
It's kind of like a tipped pass where, you know, you can get drilled.
He got absolutely hammered. How much was that last punt? 41 yards? They went down there and caught it like at the 5-yard line. Well, you just had the whole numbers.
I mean, I was looking at something else. I was looking at something else. I had moved on, Travis. All right? I move on to the next play. I don't get hung up in the past unless it's the fish tank.
Well, that was a ground ball snap that he scoops up and puts down there. And that was kind of a big moment in the game to pin them deep to the 10-yard line.
That was. And great job by the official telling us all what happened immediately. It was almost like he could feel the crowd.
What's going on?
There is no roughing the kicker there. The ball hit the ground first. You know, so great job by the official. Hell, he should be one of your unsung heroes for that. How many
official?
You got on that list?
No, he's on that. I have Jason Sanders.
Paul's went your way today.
On the special teams. Because I wanted to give Juice some love here. Because special teams, Juice always gives them love. So I thought Morstead and Sanders were both
teams
money today.
Wait, you did this for Juice?
Of course.
Teams,
do it
baby.
For the fans. Do it for a little bit, everybody.
Teams, baby. No, it is.
So I mentioned one last game ball, guys. We have 4 minutes left in this segment. I think it's perfect amount of time to talk about this. The coin toss today was executed by the late Jason Jenkins' wife, Elizabeth Jenkins. And, man, she came by the press box and talked to some of us, and me and Seth had a chance to talk to her. And just the pillar of strength and courage and just the way she's able to conduct herself in these, you know, very emotional situations. And she was out there on the field, and you could just see the kindness and kind of the grace that she was welcomed with by, you know, Tua, who walked out with him, and Sloan and Leah and Aiden out there on the coin toss, Jason's children. And then the Patriots players coming up to them and you know, just being very gracious and accepting her out there and understanding just how important Jason was, not just to this football team, not just to this community, but to the entire National Football League. And so with that, we give the boss man, Jason Jenkins, gets a game ball here for game number one.
He does.
I think I want to give him a game ball every time we get a victory, guys. I don't know what you think about that, but that's where I'm
going. Well,
you
know what, Travis, you're so right, man. And the strength that Liz and the kids have shown, man, over the last week and a half or whatever it's been, man, they've been amazing. And you know, to go out there with the you know, for the coin toss, and our guys, our captains, you know, showing that love in New England, man, that's why this league is so great. You know, we've talked all week long about how the other organizations and other teams have shown so much love to Jason, and it didn't stop. It's going to continue. And I'm with you about, you know, giving Jason. You know, we only give game balls out on victories. So let's keep winning.
Yes, sir.
And we'll continue to give Jason game balls because, you know, Jason has worked so hard to witness what we're doing right now as a post-game show, but also witness these victories for this team because he's such a huge fan of what we do out there on the field as well. And so I'm all for every single game that we win, and it's going to be a bunch of them. I'm saying it. Every single game that we win, it's going to be a bunch of them. Jason Jenkins will always get a game ball as well, because he's one of the reasons that we're as successful as we are in this booth. Also, what we've done on that football field, because a lot of those guys spent a lot of time in the community, and they spent it with Jason Jenkins.
That's exactly right. Seth, what did she say to us when she was talking about the post-game show and the honoring we did? She was saying, we got to keep it up, right, because Jason's
he's watching.
Boss man's watching
boss
over.
Man's watching us.
Yeah, got to earn our keep.
Damn right.
And we'll make him proud.
We will.
You are listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. I was going to start talking about how cool that rhyme was, and then I was reading and I was trying to think at the same time, and that's how you get that result at the end of the day.
Travis, so. Don't think you hurt the team when you think.
You didn't think we need the checkbook. So that's a callback to an inside joke. That's a joke I told you once, Seth. We'll revisit that one of these times. What is not lost on us is the game ball segment. We're going to go ahead and give out game balls right now.
It's time for Travis, Seth, and OJ McDuffie to hand out their game balls on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
How about that intro?
That was nice.
I think this is where you're supposed to lead us in.
I don't know. I was waiting for some more.
I didn't know what else we were going to get. I thought there was going to be even more. You're right.
No, we like it. Let's go ahead and start here. We're going to throw it to you, Big Seth. You're taking the first game ball off the book right here. What do you got, man?
Well, my game ball is an easy one. It's going to the player of the game. Brandon Jones was everywhere on the field today, guys. So 11 tackles, by the way, career high for tackles. Had the sack. As I told you earlier, he is the best pass-rushing safety in the league. I don't care what anybody else has to say.
Right.
He had 5 last year. He starts off the season with another one this year. So he's got 7 now in his career. And, oh, by the way, when he hits you, the ball is coming out. And if somebody's over there with their head up, that's going to turn into points. And that's what we saw today. I just thought the guy was – he almost had an interception on the next drive. So, Brandon Jones – I took the easy way out today, guys. He was literally everywhere in the field. Just open your eyes. Number 29 was making a play.
And in a game where you're down Eric Rowe, who had kind of become the tight end eraser here, there was a play where he ran stride for stride up the sideline with Jonnu Smith and forced an incompletion. In fact, it was the play before the strip sack, and then he comes back later, has a pass breakup where he darn near got another pick like you talked about there. So he was all over the field today. Juice, I have a feeling I know where you're going, but maybe you'll surprise me.
No way, man. I was thinking about the guys that were holding the chain today because
come on, man.
I all day every day got to go offense for one, and then I got to go with Tyreek Hill,
you know,
as my wide receiver, man, that is out there doing things. And you can tell how important today was for them. They tried to get him involved early in the game. You know, he's a tone setter. You know, I mean, from first play from scrimmage, incomplete pass on him. But then after that, they kept finding ways to get Tyreek involved. And, of course, with all the targets and all the opportunities, Tyreek's going to be a guy that's going to demand and command a lot of attention, and sure did today, man. So Tyreek Hill is the guy that we traded for. What we did to get a guy that could be the difference maker on offense and bring a lot of guys, to them on defense so our other guys can do well on offense. It was perfect, man. So Tyreek Hill, for sure. Cheetah, all day, every day.
Tyreek Hill is officially a Miami Dolphin now because – officially a wide receiver for this team.
That's correct.
Because he has received a game ball from O.J. McDuffie.
From the juice, man. Cheetah up, man. And not only that, I told you, super duper name drop. It's a combination of him and Clayton.
I mean, it's Mark Duper approved and O.J. McDuffie approved.
Let's go.
That's pretty good. And I was thinking if you had a second game ball, you might go to Jalen because he was pretty dang special out there.
Second game balls. Here we go. Travis, it's regular season form.
I am
Jalen next week.
It's going to happen. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I'm going to stick with one game ball today. I'm going to go back to the defense.
You sure?
And, you know, this is what's funny is I kind of put together like a second segment here called My Unsung Heroes. So maybe there is more game balls, but we don't actually
know about the segment. I didn't know about the segment.
I didn't get that script. It's just
Is that after the break so we can at least compose ourselves?
We do have 10 more minutes in the segment, so we'd have plenty of time to get to it here. But, you know, we were talking about some Ring of Honor. Should it be for players? We're talking about game ball. Should it be just for the players? I'm going off script. I'm giving it to the defensive coordinator today, Josh Boyer, because you look at that strip sack on Brandon Jones. Yeah. That was a classic overload pressure. You get Melvin Ingram looping around inside as the stuntman around big Zach Sealer, who has just commands attention every single snap.
What did Mina Kimes
made a mention
of
Zach
Sealer? Underrated defensive tackles in the league.
I mean, the guy makes plays every single day. And so he's a big part of that play, occupying space. You get the loop from Ingram inside, and that gives that free track as the left tackle gets his eyes and feet too far inside for Brandon Jones to run that track to the quarterback.
Eyes and feet?
Everything.
Damn.
Everything's inside there.
You gotta get it. You gotta get outside.
You gotta get outside, baby. You're squeezing too much. Then they dial up a third and long play later in the game, and he shows that same zero look, and then he drops everybody out for eight, and the Dolphins rush three. The Patriots have six in pass pro, and as a result, nobody can get open. And it was actually the Mac Jones roughing the passer call, I believe, was the play. But it was, I mean, it was such a desperation type of play there because of the defensive call that Josh Boyer called today. So I thought that, you know, 7 points allowed, 271 yards, three takeaways, two sacks. Josh Boyer in his bag, man. First game where he's kind of out of that shadow of, you know, Brian Flores. It's his defense now for sure. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. He comes up with a big-time performance today. So you get Tyreek Hill, Josh Boyer, Brandon Jones. Those are your game balls, guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, you stay keep a team under 300 yards total offense, and that's a big-time
today's
score
football,
in football,
NFL
man, because it's so easy to get, you know, go the other way. I mean, you could easily, not easily get 100 yards rushing, but it's easy to get over 200-plus yards passing in this game. To keep a team at 271, you know, and they got a quarterback, it's a young quarterback that's up and coming.
Pro Bowler.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hand out one more game ball here in a second, but wait a minute.
Some thought he was trash.
But I want to do my unsungs first because this is a perfect time to get him in here. Because this is a guy that I talked about so much this training camp, and I was saying, hey, guys, keep an eye on number 38, Kader Kohou. He showed up today, boy.
He did.
He played his butt off. He had a pass breakup on one of the plays downfield from Mac Jones, had that big hit to force a fumble late in the game. And here's a guy from Texas A&M Commerce, comes over to the States from the Ivory Coast because his dad won the lottery,
Won the lottery.
How great of a story
is that?
And
I feel like we have a winning lottery ticket as well now.
Yeah.
I might. I love that.
That's something we don't even talk about a lot, man. We didn't talk about Needham having to go outside today.
Good point, Juice.
You know what I mean? And Kohou having to come in and play major minutes today, you know, in the defensive secondary. And that's impressive as well. You talk about Josh Boyer, but let's also talk about Needham being able to go from, you know, it's his nickel spot, but have to play a cover corner all day. You know what I mean? They tried him early, and then he recovered. He got better. You know, he's ready eventually out there, man. The secondary alone is something that people should not pick on. But Kohou, you know, being able to step in there and make some plays for us as well. That tells you how well we're doing a great job with Josh Boyer as a coach, but also how we're developing these secondary guys to be able to go there and play all these different positions like we talked about on Space the other night. You know, all these guys that are cross-trained and be able to do different positions.
Right.
Go out there and make some plays for us, man. So it was big time, bro. It was big time.
That's Boyer's superpower, though, isn't it? To find these undrafted defensive
every
backs.
Year.
You just mentioned Nick Needham, so I mean he's got a long history of doing that.
Yeah,
and he got another one in Kohou.
That's why I wanted to circle back to him.
Do we have unsung heroes in this as well?
I got two more. If you guys want to throw some my way,
I mean, do we get a chance? Do we throw them your way? Juicy, you have one.
I've
got
one,
man.
I've got one. I don't know if you're gonna. Okay, so I don't know if I'm gonna take one off your list, but I had no preparation, Travis, so I know you called an audible here. This one goes out to Jason Sarney, and it's going to your boy, yes. Tommy Morstead.
He's on the list.
Okay, then he's off your list. He's on my list. Four punts, 183 yards, 45.8 yard average, a net of 42.8. Three of them down inside the 20 and deep, not on the 19.5, yeah. Right? We're talking deep. There was great coverage, big leg. Talk about a guy who could flip the field. But most importantly, did you see him on those holds?
The ground balls he was feeling.
Right.
I mean, you're making a joke out of it, but the first field goal that Sanders hit was a one-hopper. He took it off the ground and put it up, and there you go, field goal made. And then I didn't know this rule. Learned something new today, that if they short-hop a bus.
Whoa. You learned something new today rules-wise?
Yeah. If they short-hop the snap to the punter, you can do whatever you want to him. You can rough him up. You can smack him.
I did not know that.
It's kind of like a tipped pass where, you know, you can get drilled.
He got absolutely hammered. How much was that last punt? 41 yards? They went down there and caught it at the 5-yard line. Well, you just had the whole numbers.
I was looking at something else. I was looking at something else. I had moved on, Travis. All right? I move on to the next play. I don't get hung up in the past unless it's the fish tank.
Well, that was a ground ball snap that he scoops up and puts down there, and that was kind of a big moment in the game to pin them deep to the 10-yard line.
It was. A great job by the official telling us all what happened immediately. It was almost like he could feel the crowd.
What's going on?
There is no roughing the kicker there. The ball hit the ground first. Great job by the official. Hell, he should be one of your unsung heroes for that. How many you got on that list?
He's on that. I have Jason Sanders.
Paul's went your way today.
On the special teams. Because I wanted to give Juice some love here. Because special teams, Juice always gives them love. So I thought Morstead and Sanders were both
teams,
money today.
Wait, you did this for Juice?
Of course.
Teams,
do it
baby.
For the fans. Let's do it for a little bit, everybody.
Teams, baby. No, it is.
So I mentioned one last game ball, guys. We have 4 minutes left in this segment. I think it's perfect amount of time to talk about this. The coin toss today was executed by the late Jason Jenkins' wife, Elizabeth Jenkins. And, man, she came by the press box and talked to some of us, and me and Seth had a chance to talk to her. And just the pillar of strength and courage and just the way she's able to conduct herself in these, you know, very emotional situations. And she was out there on the field, and you could just see the kindness and kind of the grace that she was welcomed with by, you know, Tua, who walked out with him, and Sloan and Leah and Aiden out there on the coin toss, Jason's children. And then the Patriots players coming up to them and you know, just being very gracious and accepting her out there and understanding just how important Jason was, not just to this football team, not just to this community, but to the entire National Football League. And so with that, we give the boss man, Jason Jenkins, gets a game ball here for game number one.
He does.
I think I want to give him a game ball every time we get a victory, guys. I don't know what you think about that, but that's where I'm
Well, you know what, Travis, you're so right, man. And the strength that Liz and the kids have shown, man, over the last week and a half or whatever it's been, man, they've been amazing. And you know, to go out there with the you know, for the coin toss, and our guys, our captains, you know, showing that love in New England, man, that's why this league is so great. You know, we've talked all week long about how the other organizations and other teams have shown so much love to Jason, and it didn't stop. It's going to continue. And I'm with you about, you know, giving Jason. You know, we only give game balls out on victories. So let's keep winning.
Yes, sir.
And we'll continue to give Jason
there
game balls, because, you know, Jason has worked so hard to witness what we're doing right now as a post-game show, but also witness these victories for this team, because he's such a huge fan of what we do out there on the field as well. And so I'm all for every single game that we win, and it's going to be a bunch of them. I'm saying it. Every single game that we win, it's going to be a bunch of them. Jason Jenkins will always get a game ball as well, because he's one of the reasons that we're as successful as we are in this booth, also what we've done on that football field, because a lot of those guys spend a lot of time in the community, and they spent it with Jason Jenkins.
That's exactly right. Seth, what did she say to us when she was talking about the post-game show and the honoring we did? She was saying, we got to keep it up, right, because Jason's
he's watching.
Boss man's watching
boss
over.
Man's watching us.
Yeah, got to earn our keep.
Damn right.
And we'll make him proud.
We will, and we're going to continue. For sure.
Definitely going to miss him popping in and saying what's up after the game. I know it's, you know, wins down here.
It's a little scary. It was scary.
Yeah, it was. Like on Spaces, you see the profile pop up. All right, let's sharpen up, boys. We always brought our best stuff, though.
But
we're going to continue to do that, because that's just kind of guy that he was and what he would expect of us, and he would expect nothing less. So
sure.
Jason Jenkins gets our final game ball here. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long, as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster, has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And we didn't do this during the preseason because Seth was not going to allow it, Juice, but the games finally count now. Let's go ahead and get the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll talk about week one here after the fact, but let's go ahead and start on Thursday night. Our AFC East rival, Buffalo Bills, they took down the Los Angeles Rams, the defending champs, 31-10. in an absolute drubbing. You know by now the Dolphins won 20-7 out here at Hard Rock Stadium. The Saints came storming back and took out the Falcons. That was my upset pick today. Falcons right. over Saints, yep. but I lost it by 1 point there at the end. If you're tracking the Dolphins' first-round draft pick next year, good news. The Bears take down the Niners 19-10 there at a sloppy Soldier Field. The Steelers, a crazy overtime game. Can't wait to watch that one when it plays back. 23-20 over the Bengals. Joe Burrow had four picks and a lost fumble in that defeat. The Philadelphia Eagles win 38-35 over Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Can't wait to watch that one as well.
Dude, they cannot catch a break, can they?
What
fighting
happened
Campbells,
there?
Man.
They were down big and they came back late, but it seems like it wasn't quite enough. They're losing by three. The Ravens got after former quarterback Joe Flacco and the New York Jets 24-9. It was an ugly show.
I like
that.
That's okay with me.
Yeah, we like that quite a lot around here. The Commanders and Carson Wentz gets the victory over the Jaguars a year late. Could have used it last year week 18 with the Colts, but they win 28-22. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Browns, Baker Mayfield does not get his revenge against his former team. The Browns win behind Jacoby Brissett, big sloppy, 26-24 over the Carolina Panthers. And the Texans and Colts juice, we have a tie, 20-20. Man, I hate when there's a tie in the standings. It looks so goofy. The game's going on right now. The Titans up 13-zip over the New York Giants. That's heading to the end of the first half. Also heading towards the end of the first half, the Vikings up 10-0 on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And with a minute to play in the second quarter, the Chiefs up 20-7 over Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. And then the Los Angeles Chargers have a 17-3 lead over Derek Carr and the Los Angeles Rams. And then tonight we get Bucks at Cowboys. And tomorrow night, Juice, I'm pumped up for Broncos at Seahawks. I cannot wait how Russell Wilson's received. They better cheer that man, Juice.
Yeah, they should. They should. I actually ran into a Seattle fan the other day, and they love him, man. But, you know, when somebody's gone, a lot of people hate him, man. And you know, it had nothing to do with Russ. I don't think it had anything to do with Russ. It's a business decision.
Yeah.
They made a business decision. That's the way it is, man. But great games already, man. It's been a great weekend of football.
So
but the NFL never disappoints, man. Great scores. And some teams that you thought would do something, you know, didn't. And others that are supposed to do well, they did well. So NFL being the way it is, any given Sunday.
Can I get a fist bump for my Washington State Cougars taking out a Big
Ten
team
yesterday?
Yeah,
I know you wanted that.
A little taking down Wisconsin at Camp Randall?
I know what you're talking about.
I mean, oh, man.
That
was a good one.
That happened really?
17-14. They controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, Juice. A little Pac-12, you know, upstart, little old Washington State going into Wisconsin, getting a big victory for Travis here. No one else gives a crap about that. But Steph the Special is giving me a handle. I'll shout out his Hurricanes.
That was big. It was big.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
It worked.
Because now we get Colorado State next week. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. So undefeated, maybe? We'll see. We'll see about a national championship. We'll talk about that later.
You're talking about a Cougs and national championship?
No, I'm just having fun. I understand the expectations with that squad. But, you know, our squad, we have some high expectations
Absolutely.
For as well. So just kind of looking around the league right now, Juice got the Ravens next week. We'll talk about them here in just a second. But what stands out to you here, man? I think the that Niners game certainly pops off to me. Is there a game that really popped out to you as far as a surprise? Did you have some fantasy success today? Tell me what you're thinking about this week one slate.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's the NFL, man. No like big blowouts, no bad games, man. A lot of really good games. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. They expect that every single Sunday, you know. And you look out there and you see the Ravens beat the Jets down pretty bad, which you expect a lot of times. But some other teams that you know, did you expect the Bears to get over the Niners today?
That would have been like with the survivor pick.
Yeah,
for me,
there are some tough teams. I mean, the Bills, in going back to Thursday, the Bills beating the Rams the way they did in LA. Was a the shocker. I knew the Bills were that good, but the Rams have such a bad game.
Man,
so yeah, there were a lot of NFL is amazing. Every single week, every single Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever it is, there's a game being played. You just don't know what's going to happen, bro. And I like that. I like that about the league.
It's the best, man. It gives you plans for like four nights out of the week if you're if you can get some time away from whatever your obligations are. I personally will make it a point on like Wednesday nights to do all the chores around the house so that Thursday night's mine.
Nothing else.
I get those good boy points out in front so that I can cash them in the following day.
You have to, man. You got to create that credit. You got to put that credit in, man, for sure.
I wanted to hear Seth jump on for that point there because I thought he might get after me for saying good boy points here on the line. Live on the show here, but he's working on a pizza over there, I think, right? We're getting late into the show here. We're talking about week one. I was looking at this Jets line, Juice, and Joe Flacco threw the ball 59 times a day. You can't win that way.
Yeah, do it against us, please.
Yes, exactly.
Please do it against our DBs, our safeties. please throw it around the yard like that against us, man. I really hope he's back there. And then be that guy that's sitting in that pocket and give our guys a chance to come at him. You know, I'm looking for that opportunity to just to have some fun. But you want to throw it that many times?
We'll take it.
We're going to take advantage of that for sure, man.
We're going to take that.
And, you know, it's the game is about being able to pass the rock. But it's also about being able to pass the rock with a quarterback that can move and get out of there and make some plays with his feet. And Joe Flacco, he's like kind of a – honestly, he's a throwback guy. He really is. And so you have to throw it that many times. But you got to be very, very like accurate with those situations. I was talking to somebody the other day about how the game has changed so much with these quarterbacks. You know, back there, you know, a statue quarterback like that.
Statuesque was the term you used.
Statuesque. That's a big word, like mayonnaise. It's the way, you know, that was the way it was. But now, if you can't move and get out of the way a little bit, you're in trouble in this league. These guys are way too fast.
We saw Tua wheel out today once.
Yeah. It's like you gotta be able to move, man. So,
like when he's moving to his left a little more than
Seth,
to his right.
If you don't have to worry about a mobile quarterback in this league, you're winning half the battle. Yeah. If you don't have to worry about a team that can run the ball and you don't have a mobile quarterback and you can play coverage, you can't win in this league. So, I mean, I welcome the fact. I love the fact that, you know, Joe Flacco's still doing his thing, but the fact he's going to sit there and throw it 59 times, you know, and not be able to run and get out of harm's way, I'm cool with that all day, every day.
I love that point because it changes the way that you have to kind of rush the quarterback. And that's one thing that I really give the Dolphins rush so much credit for, among so many things, because this Dolphins defensive front, man, the whole defense is so stacked, really at all three levels. But the way they keep their eyes on the quarterback and they don't get up past him, you know, upfield and just get in the worst spot in the football field, which is behind the quarterback. Like, there was a play today where Mac Jones, I think it was the coverage play I was talking about, where Ogbah had to come off and you saw that he had his eyes on the quarterback and he chucked his man and got back in front of Mac, who tried to scramble for a first down, but Ogba's like, I'm not having any of that. Yeah. And then Mac Jones got in his face, which I'm thinking, not the guy you probably want to go after on that defense.
Right,
Ogba's a big boy.
Right. And you know, and that's a great point, Travis, man. People don't even think about little things like that, man. Getting past the quarterback's a bad situation. You know, there's all they gotta do is step up or they can run.
You're out of the play.
You know, yeah, you're done. You know, some guys can get there. If you're bending that corner, you're in the same level, it's one thing. But if you're past the quarterback, you've done the defensive or the offensive tackle job. You know, you've done him a favor by letting him get to that point. And so, yeah, man, guys, like, that discipline itself, that mindset itself, you know, it's invaluable. Because people always say, yo, get up the field, do this, get to the quarterback. But there's certain ways of doing it, the right way of doing it, you know. And so, yeah, well, how many sacks do we have today?
Just two.
Just the two.
Yeah.
And we got sacked three times?
Yes.
A couple bad sacks. Holding the ball a little too long on ours. So I'll take our holding the ball on too long because we can correct that. Mm-hmm.
I don't mind holding it. Just tuck the damn thing under your
arm. Don't put it on the ground. Yeah, you're right.
That was the one potential. Like, you know, people always talk about interceptions and fumbles lost, but if you put the ball on the carpet, like, that's the same thing to me because you're putting the opportunity out there for a takeaway. So get rid of those turnover-worthy plays, and we can really get cranking in this offense, I think, and that's something they can look at and improve going forward, hopefully. So, guys, we have one segment left. We'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens next week. In week number two, we kind of mentioned that's been a bit of a bugaboo the last couple of years. And
bugaboo.
Also, what's coming up next on the podcast
network.
What is
a bugaboo?
You know what? I don't know. It just sounds cool. I know it's the right word, but I don't know what the hell it means. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we're going to close this thing up here. Some final stats. The Dolphins had 18 first downs to New England, 17. 6 for 14 on third down was Miami. 4 of 9 were the Patriots. Dolphins get that one fourth down conversion. Boy, it was a big one. 307 yards to 271. In total, passing 242 to 193. The Dolphins just got outrushed 78 to 65. We mentioned the three takeaways for Miami, the big difference in this game. And then the Dolphins gave up three sacks and sacked the Patriots Patriots twice in this game. Penalties, I was curious to see this. 4 for 20 for Miami and 3 for 15 for New England. So neither team really got, you know, killed by the penalties, but that's your box score there, right, as the Dolphins pull it down 20-7. And Juice, we're looking at the Ravens box score here, taking a look at what's coming up next week. I've been looking forward to this game. Like, obviously week one always takes your eyes off when the schedule comes out. But the Dolphins performance last year against the Ravens turned Baltimore's season in the wrong direction.
Right.
Teams kind of figured them out after that. I can't wait to see what happens here, man. They're going to have that same plan. What's Baltimore going to do to respond to it? Like, I can't wait to watch the adjustments from that game last year.
Yeah, and I think they remember what happened last year, too. So, I think it was a Thursday night game, and, you know, it was Halloween, maybe? No, it wasn't Halloween.
Right around there.
It was somewhere close. But I think it was a Thursday night, though.
It was definitely a Thursday night.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a hell of a game plan.
With a PM turned to the AM.
With a PM turned to the AM. We had a great plan against Lamar Jackson, and, you know, he's a local kid, so he wants to come back, obviously, and make amends for that last performance down here. But we had a great game plan against him. So, I mean, you get a quarterback like that, that's that dynamic, can run it, can throw it, and do the things he does. But we've got a dynamic defense that's so fast and that can, you know, contain and cover. So I think the game plan should be similar to last year. But, you know, they're going to see what they did wrong, too. We all self-scout. You have to self-scout. If you don't self-scout, you're not doing a good job of making yourself better. So they're going to figure out what they did wrong, and we just got to figure out a way to make it work. But bottom line is this. We got to contain a guy like Lamar Jackson. We got to play defense against the run, and then we can play coverage. Our run game defense started off, I thought, in my opinion, rough today.
Yep.
But they figured out a way to get it done. You know, they got to stop. And when you get a team, when you got a lead, you force a team to put the ball in the air, and that's important. So we want to force them to put the ball in the air next week, and I think that's going to be the key to success against Baltimore. If we get out to a lead like we did today, I think we're up 17-0 at one point, then force them to throw the rock, then that plays into our favor. So that's going to be the key, in my opinion.
Yeah, this defense, and McDaniel, I love what he said about you know, we don't panic when they start gaining those yards, because at the end of the day, they still have to score the touchdown.
Still
they have to make
score.
The play to score that touchdown,
yes.
So you have chances to make plays. And
I love that.
When you got X and Javon out there, it's
going to Well, that's
happen.
What I was going to say. I mean, I love when a team is dictating the game to us, and then for some crazy reason, they decide they're going to throw
so
the ball
weird,
at Xavier Howard.
One pinned to the sideline. Like
and
that.
By the way, to Devontae Parker, like, how many times has Xavier Howard lined up against Devontae Parker?
Correct.
Several.
All
now,
of them.
Now, you could
All
say the flip side of that, yeah. But – I'm going with the guy who's had more interceptions than anybody in the league yeah. over however many years.
He had 1 for 9, by the way, today.
Yeah, well.
For sure. For sure. I'll tell you, it's always easier for the DB than it is for the wide receiver when you have familiarity. Honestly, you know.
Tell us why.
Because, I mean, they know every DB I played against, it was harder for me to get loose on my own DBs than it was against anybody I played against in the league, because they've seen every single move, 180 days a year, every OTA, every training camp, every mini camp, every walkthrough, whatever it is, they know everything I've got. You know, but you get out there against guys you don't know that well, you know, you only see once or twice a year, then they you can see it on film all you want, but when you see it in person, it's a whole different ballgame. But when you see it in person every single day, every single mini camp, every single training camp, then you can't fool them at all.
Yeah.
You know? So there's nothing – Devontae can't recreate new moves that X and Needham and, you know, that they haven't seen. He can't. It's not possible.
And I don't even think they were asking him to. I think they were going for the classic 50-50 ball, which we saw Devontae Parker succeed
a lot here.
However, a 50-50 ball is not a 50-50 ball if the other guy is Xavier Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just
right.
not.
Exactly right. I love that.
It's just not. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, right, we saw Kansas City try to do it, and what did he do? Get the one-handed, ridiculous interception. Listen, that's not the guy that I'm going to throw the ball at.
Never.
We'll be back next week to talk about the Ravens game as well. In the meantime, we'll have 5 episodes of Drive Time. Tonight will be the recap takeaways podcast.
You got 5 tonight?
5 podcasts this week.
That's okay. What I was going to say.
Damn,
man, I can't listen to them all tonight,
Travis.
I don't think
I can't give you 5.
Like
I might give you 1 or 2.
On Tuesday, we'll have the All-22 review, a deep dive Wednesday. We'll preview the Ravens on Thursday. Then we'll have a Ravens beat writer or someone from Baltimore to give us their perspective on the Friday show. Stanley Pritchett was in the tank last week. What's coming up this week, Big Seth?
Well, listen, it is the regular season. I got to keep my partner happy. We're staying on the offensive side of the ball. And we are just, you know, I know this Miami Dolphins team is committing to succeeding with the running game. I know there's a commitment to it. We didn't see it come to fruition today the way we want to, but on the fish tank, we're supporting Coach McDaniel in that. We're staying committed to the run game as well. Terry Kirby from Juice's 1993 draft class. TK makes his second appearance in the fish tank, and it was great. We had a blast with him the first time. He got deep.
Yeah.
He got a little emotional.
Yeah.
I shared the stage with Terry Kirby at the draft night a couple of years ago. He was great.
Yeah, he really was. And Big Seth, you're right, man. He talked about some things that he hadn't talked about before. You know, leaving here was tougher than we thought it was.
Yeah.
Terry.
Sounded like he needed to get it off his chest.
He talked about it for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, that's what you guys do best.
And well, thank you for that. And you know, we're only as good as they allow us to be. But TK was fabulous. But something else that's interesting, if you don't know this yet, Terry Kirby is a rising star in the world of cornhole.
Yes, he is.
No kidding.
In competitive cornhole. Not just like drinking beer out in the parking lot.
Right. State ranked.
I thought you were going like to coaching or something,
state
but
state ranked cornhole.
Cornhole throwing bags, baby. That's what we do.
State ranked cornholio.
That right there is a perfect line to end the show on tonight. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world class shows at Hard Rock Live, award winning dining,
that's Big Seth's cornholio.
Council Oak. I am the great cornholio, and much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Grieper, Jimmy Garcia, and Matt Wilson, our radio booth engineer, Stephen J. Gray, and our postgame engineer was Steph Specialist. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game was 20-7, the Dolphins. DJ Preach in the house sending out videos. Today.
With the pizza and the postgame
pizza
sets.
And the postgames.
You might get a game ball for that.
Let's go.
Dolphins football is going to be back on the air for week two from Baltimore. The Dolphins will take on the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster, has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And we didn't do this during the preseason because Seth was not going to allow it, Juice, but the games finally count now. Let's go ahead and get the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll talk about week one here after the fact, but let's go ahead and start on Thursday night. Our AFC East rival, Buffalo Bills, they took down the Los Angeles Rams, the defending champs, 31-10 in an absolute drubbing. You know by now the Dolphins won 20-7 out here at Hard Rock Stadium. The Saints came storming back and took out the Falcons. That was my upset pick today. Falcons
right.
over Saints.
Yep.
But I lost it by 1 point there at the end. If you're tracking the Dolphins' first-round draft pick next year, good news. The Bears take down the Niners 19-10 there at a sloppy Soldier Field. The Steelers, a crazy overtime game. Can't wait to watch that one when it plays back. 23-20 over the Bengals. Joe Burrow had 4 picks and a lost fumble in that defeat. The Philadelphia Eagles win 38-35 over Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Can't wait to watch that one as well.
Dude, they cannot catch a break, can they?
What happened
there? Campbells, man.
They were down big and they came back late, but it seems like it wasn't quite enough. They're losing by 3. The Ravens got after former quarterback Joe Flacco and the New York Jets 24-9. It was an ugly show.
I like
that.
That's okay with me.
Yeah, we like that quite a lot around here. The Commanders and Carson Wentz gets the victory over the Jaguars a year late. Could have used it last year, Week 18 with the Colts, but they win 28-22. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Browns, Baker Mayfield does not get his revenge against his former team. The Browns win behind Jacoby Brissett, big sloppy, 26-24 over the Carolina Panthers. And the Texans and Colts, Juice, we have a tie, 20-20. Man, I hate when there's a tie in the standings. It looks so goofy. The game's going on right now. The Titans up 13-zip over the New York Giants. That's heading to the end of the first half. Also heading towards the end of the first half, the Vikings up 10-0 on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And with a minute to play in the second quarter, the Chiefs up 20-7 over Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. And then the Los Angeles Chargers have a 17-3 lead over Derek Carr and the Los Angeles Rams. And then tonight we get Bucks at Cowboys. And tomorrow night, Juice, I'm pumped up for Broncos at Seahawks. I cannot wait
to see
how Russell Wilson's received. They better cheer that man, Juice.
Yeah, they should. They should. I actually ran into a Seattle fan the other day, and they love him, man. But, you know, when somebody's going A lot of people hate him, man. And you know, it had nothing to do with Russ. I don't think it had anything to do with Russ. It's a business decision.
Yeah.
They made a business decision. That's the way it is, man. But great, hey, great games already, man. It's been a great weekend of football.
So
but the NFL never disappoints, man. Great scores. And some teams that you thought would do something, you know, didn't. And others that are supposed to do well, they did well. So NFL being the way it is, any given Sunday.
Can I get a fist bump for my Washington State Cougars taking out a Big Ten team
yesterday?
Yeah, I
know you wanted that. I know you wanted that.
Well, taking down Wisconsin at Camp Randall.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, oh, man. That was a good one.
Did that happen really?
17-14. They controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football juice. A little Pac-12, you know, upstart, little old Washington State going into Wisconsin, getting a big victory for Travis here. No one else gives a crap about that. But Steph, the specialist, giving me a handle. I'll shout out his Hurricanes.
That was big. It was big.
We'll take it.
It worked.
Now we get Colorado State next week. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. So undefeated, maybe? We'll see. We'll see about a national championship. We'll talk about that later.
You're talking about the Cougs and national championship?
I'm just having fun. I understand the expectations with that squad. But, you know, our squad, we have some high expectations
Absolutely.
For as well. So just kind of looking around the league right now, Juice got the Ravens next week. We'll talk about them here in just a second. But what stands out to you here, man? I think the that Niners game certainly pops off to me. Is there a game that really popped out to you as far as a surprise? Did you have some fantasy success today? Tell me what you're thinking about this week one slate.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's the NFL, man. It no like big blowouts, no bad games, man. A lot of really good games. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. They expect that every single Sunday, you know. And you look out there and you see the Ravens beat the Jets down pretty bad, which you expect a lot of times. But some other teams that you know, did you expect the Bears to get over the Niners today?
That would have been like with the survivor pick.
Yeah, there are some tough teams. I mean, the Bills, even going back to Thursday, the Bills beating the Rams the way they did and in L.A. was a shocker. I knew the Bills were that good, but the Rams have such a bad game.
Man,
so, yeah, there were a lot of – you know, NFL is amazing. Every single week, every single Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever it is, there's a game being played. You just don't know what's going to happen, bro. And I like that. I like that about the league.
It's the best, man. It gives you plans for like four nights out of the week if you're if you can get some time away from whatever your obligations are. I personally will make it a point on like Wednesday nights to do all the chores around the house so that Thursday night's mine.
Nothing else.
I get those good boy points out in front so that I can cash them in the following day.
You have to, man. You got to create that credit. You got to put that credit in, man, for sure.
I wanted to hear Seth jump on for that point there because I thought he might get after me for saying good boy points here on the live. Live on the show here, but he's working on a pizza over there, I think, right? We're getting late into the show here. We're talking about week one. I was looking at this Jets line, Juice, and Joe Flacco threw the ball 59 times a day. You can't win that way.
Yeah, do it against us, please.
Yes, exactly.
Please do it against our DBs, our safeties. Please throw it around the yard like that against us, man. I really hope he's back there. And then be that guy that's sitting in that pocket and give our guys a chance to come at him. You know, I'm looking for that opportunity to have some fun. But you want to throw it that many times?
We'll take it.
We're going to take advantage of that for sure, man.
We're going to take that.
And, you know, it's the game is about being able to pass the rock. But it's also about being able to pass the rock with a quarterback that can move and get out of there and make some plays with his feet. And Joe Flacco, he's like kind of a – honestly, he's a throwback guy. He really is. And so you have to throw it that many times, but you got to be very, very like accurate with those situations. I was talking to somebody the other day about how the game has changed so much with these quarterbacks. You know, back there, you know, a statue quarterback like that.
Statuesque was the term you used.
Statuesque. That's a big word, like mayonnaise. It's the way, you know, that was the way it was. But now, if you can't move and get out of the way a little bit, you're in trouble in this league. These guys are way too fast.
We saw Tua wheel out today once.
Dude, yes. Nice. Yeah. It's like you gotta be able to move, man. So,
like when he's moving to his left a little more than
Seth,
he was right.
If you don't have to worry about a mobile quarterback in this league, you're winning half the battle.
Yeah.
If you don't have to worry about a team that can run the ball and you don't have a mobile quarterback and you can play coverage, you can't win in this league. So, I mean, I welcome the fact. I love the fact that, you know, Joe Flacco's still doing his thing, but the fact he's going to sit there and throw it 59 times, You know, and not be able to run and get out of harm's way, I'm cool with that all day, every day.
I love that point because it changes the way that you have to kind of rush the quarterback. And that's one thing that I really give the Dolphins rush so much credit for, among so many things, because this Dolphins defensive front, man, the whole defense is so stacked, really at all three levels. But the way they keep their eyes on the quarterback and they don't get up past him, you know, upfield and just get in the worst spot in the football field, which is behind the quarterback. Like, there was a play today where Mac Jones, I think it was the coverage play I was talking about, where Ogba had to come off and you saw that he had his eyes on the quarterback and he chucked his man and got back in front of Mac, who tried to scramble for a first down, but Ogba was like, I'm not having any of that. Yeah. And then Mac Jones got in his face, which I'm thinking, not the guy you probably want to go after on that defense.
Right,
Ogba's a big boy.
Right. And you know, and that's a great point, Travis, man. People don't even think about little things like that, man. Getting past the quarterback's a bad situation. You know, there's all they gotta do is step up where they can run.
You're out of the play.
You know, you're done. You know, some guys can get there. If you've been in that corner, you're in the same level, it's one thing. But if you're past the quarterback, you've done the defensive or the offensive tackle job. You know, you've done him a favor by letting him get to that point. And so, yeah, man, guys, like, that discipline itself, that mindset itself, you know, it's invaluable. Because people always say, yo, get up the field, do this, get to the quarterback. But there's certain ways of doing it, the right way of doing it, you know. And so, yeah, hell, man. Well, how many sacks we have today?
Just two.
Just the two.
Yeah.
And we got sacked three times?
Yes.
A couple bad sacks. Holding the ball a little too long on ours. So I'll take our holding the ball on too long because we can correct that. Mm-hmm.
I don't mind holding it. Just tuck the damn thing under your
arm. Don't put it on the ground. Don't put it on the ground. Yeah, you're right.
That was the one potential. Like, you know, people always talk about interceptions and fumbles lost, but if you put the ball on the carpet, like, that's the same thing to me because you're putting the opportunity out there for a takeaway. So get rid of those turnover-worthy plays, and we can really get cranking in this offense, I think, and that's something they can look at and improve going forward, hopefully. So, guys, we have one segment left. We'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens next week in week number two. We kind of mentioned that's been a bit of a bugaboo the last couple of years, and
bugaboo.
Also what's coming up next on the podcast
network.
What
is a bugaboo?
You know what? I don't know. It just sounds cool. I know it's the right word, but I don't know what the hell it means. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 20, Patriots 7. You're listening to the fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we're going to close this thing up here. Some final stats. The Dolphins had 18 first downs to New England, 17. 6 for 14 on third down was Miami. 4 of 9 were the Patriots. Dolphins get that one fourth down conversion. Boy, it was a big one. 307 yards to 271 in total. Passing, 242 to 193. The Dolphins just got outrushed, 78 to 65. We mentioned the three takeaways for Miami, the big difference in this game. And then the Dolphins gave up three sacks and sacked the Patriots twice in this game. Penalties, I was curious to see this. 4 for 20 for Miami and 3 for 15 for New England. So neither team really got, you know, killed by the penalties, but that's your box score there, right, as the Dolphins pull it down 20 to 7. And Juice, we're looking at the Ravens box score here, taking a look at what's coming up next week. I've been looking forward to this game. Like, obviously week 1 always takes your eyes off like when the schedule comes out, but the Dolphins performance last year against the Ravens turned Baltimore season in the wrong direction.
Right.
Teams kind of figured them out after that. I can't wait to see what happens here, man. Are they going to have that same plan? What's Baltimore going to do to respond to it? Like, I can't wait to watch the adjustments from that game last year.
Yeah, and I think they remember what happened last year, too. So, I think it was a Thursday night game, and, you know, it was Halloween, maybe? No, it wasn't Halloween.
Right around there.
It was somewhere close, but I think it was a Thursday night, though.
It was definitely a Thursday night.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a hell of a game plan.
With the PM turned to the AM.
With a PM turned to the AM. We had a great plan against Lamar Jackson, and, you know, he's a local kid, so he wants to come back, obviously, and make amends for that last performance down here. But we had a great game plan against him. So, I mean, you get a quarterback like that, that's that dynamic, can run it, can throw it, and do the things he does. But we've got a dynamic defense that's so fast and that can, you know, contain and cover. So I think the game plan should be similar to last year. But, you know, they're going to see what they did wrong, too. We all self-scout. You have to self-scout. If you don't self-scout, you're not doing a good job of making yourself better. So they're going to figure out what they did wrong, and we just got to figure out a way to make it work. But bottom line is this. We got to contain a guy like Lamar Jackson. We got to play defense against the run, and then we can play coverage. Our run game defense started off, I thought, in my opinion, rough today.
Yep.
But they figured out a way to get it done. You know, they got to stop. And when you get a team, when you got a lead, you force a team to put the ball in the air, and that's important. So we want to force them to put the ball in the air next week, and I think that's going to be the key to success against Baltimore. If we get out to a lead like we did today, I think we're up 17-0 at one point, then force them to throw the rock, then that plays into our favor. So that's going to be the key, in my opinion.
Yeah, this defense, and McDaniel, I love what he said about you know, we don't panic when they start gaining those yards, because at the end of the day, they still have to score the touchdown.
Still
they have to make
score.
The play to score that touchdown.
Yes.
So you have chances to make plays. And
I love that.
When you got X and Javon out there, it's
going
to happen.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I love when a team is dictating the game to us, and then for some crazy reason, they decide they're going to throw
so
the ball
weird,
at Xavier Howard.
One pinned to the sideline.
And by the way, to Devontae Parker, like, how many times has Xavier Howard lined up against Devontae Parker?
Correct.
Several.
All
now,
of them.
Now, you could
All
say the flip side of that, yeah. but I'm going with the guy who's had more interceptions than anybody in the league over however many years.
He had one for nine, by the way, today.
Yeah, well.
For sure. For sure. I'll tell you, it's always easier for the DB than it is for the wide receiver when you have familiarity. Honestly, you know.
Tell us why.
Because, I mean, they know every DB I played against, it was harder for me to get loose on my own DBs than it was against anybody I played against in the league, because they've seen every single move,
every release,
180 days a year, every OTA, every training camp, every mini camp, every walkthrough, whatever it is, they know everything I've got. You know, but you get out there against guys you don't know that well, you know, you only see once or twice a year, then they you can see it on film all you want, but when you see it in person, it's a whole different ballgame. But when you see it in person every single day, every single mini camp, every single training camp, then you can't fool them at all.
Yeah.
You know? So there's nothing – Devontae can't recreate new moves that X and Needham and, you know, that they haven't seen. He can't. It's not possible.
And I don't even think they were asking him to. I think they were going for the classic 50-50 ball, which we saw Devontae Parker succeed
a lot here.
However, a 50-50 ball is not a 50-50 ball if the other guy is Xavier Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just
right.
not.
Exactly right. I love that.
It's just not. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, right, we saw Kansas City try to do it, and what did he do? Get the one-handed ridiculous interception. You know, listen, that's not the guy that I'm going to throw the ball at.
Never.
We'll be back next week to talk about the Ravens game as well. In the meantime, we'll have five episodes of Drive Time. Tonight will be the recap takeaways
you
podcast.
You got five tonight?
Five podcasts this week.
That's what I was going to say,
damn,
man. I can't listen to them all tonight, Travis.
I don't think
I can't give you five.
Like
I might give you one or two.
On Tuesday, we'll have the All-22 review, a deep dive Wednesday. We'll preview the Ravens on Thursday. Then we'll have a Ravens beat writer or someone from Baltimore to give us their perspective on the Friday show. Stanley Pritchett was in the tank last week. What's coming up this week, Big Seth?
Well, listen, it is the regular season. I got to keep my partner happy. We're staying on the offensive side of the ball. And we are just, you know, I know this Miami Dolphins team is committing to succeeding with the running game. I know there's a commitment to it. We didn't see it come to fruition today the way we want to. But on the fish tank, we're supporting Coach McDaniel in that. We're staying committed to the run game as well. Terry Kirby from Juice's 1993 draft class. TK makes his second appearance in the fish tank, and it was great. We
it
had a
so
blast
good.
With him
so
the first
good.
Time.
So good.
He got deep.
Yeah.
He got a little emotional.
Yeah.
I shared the stage with Terry Kirby at the draft night a couple of years ago. He was great.
Yeah, he really was. And Big Seth, you're right, man. He talked about some things that he hadn't talked about before. You know, leaving here was tougher than we thought it was.
Yeah.
Terry.
Sounded like he needed to get it off his chest.
He talked about it, for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, that's what you guys do best.
And, well, thank you for that. And you know, we're only as good as they allow us to be. But TK was fabulous. But something else that's interesting, if you don't know this yet, Terry Kirby is a rising star in the world of cornhole.
Yes, he is.
No kidding.
In competitive cornhole. Not just like drinking beer out in the parking lot.
Right. State ranked.
I thought you were going like to coaching or something,
state
but no.
State ranked
cornhole.
Cornhole
in bags, baby. That's what we do.
State ranked cornholio.
That right there is a perfect line to end the show on tonight. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world class shows at Hard Rock Live, award winning dining,
that's Big Seth Cornholio.
Council Oak. I am the great cornholio. And much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Grieper, Jimmy Garcia, and Matt Wilson, our radio booth engineer, Stephen J. Gray, and and our post-game engineer was Steph. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game was 20-7, the Dolphins. DJ Preach in the house sending out video scores today.
Preach! With the pizza and the post-game
pizza
sets.
And the post-game sets.
You might get a game ball for that.
Let's go.
Dolphins football is going to be back on the air for week two from Baltimore. The Dolphins will take on the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. This has been the Miami Dolphins post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we're going to close this thing up here. Some final stats. The Dolphins had 18 first downs to New England 17. 6 for 14 on third down was Miami. 4 of 9 were the Patriots. Dolphins get that one fourth down conversion. Boy, it was a big one. 307 yards to 271 in total. Passing 242 to 193. The Dolphins just got outrushed 78 to 65. We mentioned the three takeaways for Miami, the big difference in this game. And then the Dolphins gave up three sacks and sacked the Patriots twice in this game. Penalties, I was curious to see this. 4 for 20 for Miami and 3 for 15 for New England. So neither team really got, you know, killed by the penalties, but that's your box score there, right, as the Dolphins pull it down 20-7. And Juice, we're looking at the Ravens box score here, taking a look at what's coming up next week. I've been looking forward to this game. Like, obviously week one always takes your eyes off when the schedule comes out, but the Dolphins performance last year against the Ravens turned Baltimore season in the wrong direction.
Right.
Teams kind of figured them out after that. I can't wait to see what happens here, man. Are they going to have that same plan? What's Baltimore going to do to respond to it? Like, I can't wait to watch the adjustments from that game last year.
Yeah, and I think they remember what happened last year, too. So, I think it was a Thursday night game, and, you know, it was Halloween, maybe? No, it wasn't Halloween.
Right around there.
It was somewhere close, but I think it was a Thursday night, though.
It was definitely a Thursday night.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a hell of a game plan.
With the PM turned to the AM.
With a PM turned to the AM. We had a great plan against Lamar Jackson, and, you know, he's a local kid, so he wants to come back, obviously, and make amends for that last performance down here. But we had a great game plan against him. So, I mean, you get a quarterback like that, that's that dynamic, can run it, can throw it, and do the things he does. But we've got a dynamic defense that's so fast and that can, you know, contain and cover. So I think the game plan should be similar to last year. But, you know, they're going to see what they did wrong, too. We all self-scout. You have to self-scout. If you don't self-scout, you're not doing a good job of making yourself better. So they're going to figure out what they did wrong, and we just got to figure out a way to make it work. But bottom line is this. We got to contain a guy like Lamar Jackson. We got to play defense against the run, and then we can play coverage. Our run game defense started off, I thought, in my opinion, rough today.
Yeah.
But they figured out a way to get it done. You know, they got to stop. And when you get a team, when you got a lead, you force a team to put the ball in the air, and that's important. So we want to force them to put the ball in the air next week, and I think that's going to be the key to success against Baltimore. If we get out to a lead like we did today, I think we're up 17-0 at one point, then force them to throw the rock, then that plays into our favor. So that's going to be the key, in my opinion.
Yeah, this defense, and McDaniel, I love what he said about you know, we don't panic when they start gaining those yards, because at the end of the day, they still have to score the touchdown.
Still
they have to make the play to score that touchdown.
Yes.
So you have chances to make plays. And
I love that.
When you got X and Javon out there, it's going
to happen.
That's
what I was going to say. I mean, I love when a team is dictating the game to us, and then for some crazy reason, they decide they're going to throw
so
the ball
weird,
at Xavier Howard.
One, pinned to the sideline.
And
like
by
that.
The way, to Devontae Parker, like, how many times has Xavier Howard lined up against Devontae Parker?
Correct.
Several.
All
now,
of them.
Now, you could
All
say the flip side of that, yeah. But I'm going with the guy who's had more interceptions than anybody in the league over however many years.
He has 1 for 9, by the way, today.
Yeah, well.
For sure. For sure. I'll tell you, it's always easier for the DB than it is for the wide receiver when you have familiarity. Honestly, you know.
Tell us why.
Because, I mean, they know every DB I played against, it was harder for me to get loose on my own DBs than it was against anybody I played against in the league, because they've seen every single move, 180 days a year, every OTA, every training camp, every mini camp, every walkthrough, whatever it is, they know everything I've got. You know, but you get out there against guys you don't know that well, you know, you only see once or twice a year, then they you can see it on film all you want, But when you see it in person, it's a whole different ballgame. But when you see it in person every single day, every single mini camp, every single training camp, then you can't fool them at all.
Yeah.
You know? So there's nothing – Devontae can't recreate new moves that X and Needham and, you know, that they haven't seen. He can't. It's not possible.
And I don't even think they were asking him to. I think they were going for the classic 50-50 ball, which we saw Devontae Parker succeed
a lot here.
However, a 50-50 ball is not a 50-50 ball if the other guy is Xavier Howard.
Exactly.
It's just not.
Exactly right. I love that.
It's just not. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, right, we saw Kansas City try to do it, and what did he do? Get the one-handed ridiculous interception.
That's
not the guy that I'm going to throw the ball at.
Never.
We'll be back next week to talk about the Ravens game as well. In the meantime, we'll have 5 episodes of Drive Time. Tonight will be the recap takeaways
podcast.
You got
5 tonight?
5 podcasts this week.
That's okay. I was going to say, man.
Damn,
I can't listen to
them
all tonight, Travis.
I don't think
I
can't give you 5.
Like
I might give you 1 or 2.
On Tuesday, we'll have the All-22 review, a deep dive Wednesday. We'll preview the Ravens on Thursday. Then we'll have a Ravens beat writer or someone from Baltimore to give us their perspective on the Friday show. Stanley Pritchett was in the tank last week. What's coming up this week, Big Seth?
Well, listen, it is the regular season. I got to keep my partner happy. We're staying on the offensive side of the ball. And we are just, I know this Miami Dolphins team is committing to succeeding with the running game. I know there's a commitment to it. We didn't see it come to fruition today the way we want to. But on the fish tank, we're supporting Coach McDaniel in that. We're staying committed to the run game as well. Terry Kirby from Juice's 1993 draft class. TK makes his second appearance in the fish tank, and it was great. We
it
had a
so
blast
good.
With him
so
the first
good.
Time.
So good.
He got deep.
Yeah.
He got a little emotional.
Yeah.
I shared the stage with Terry Kirby at the draft night a couple of years ago. He was great.
Yeah, he really was. And Big Seth, you're right, man. He talked about some things that he hadn't talked about before. You know, leaving here was tougher than we thought it was.
Yeah.
Terry.
It sounded like he needed to get it off his chest.
He talked about it, for sure.
That's cool. That's what you guys do best.
And, well, thank you for that. And you know, we're only as good as they allow us to be. But TK was fabulous. But something else that's interesting, if you don't know this yet, Terry Kirby is a rising star in the world of cornhole.
Yes, he is.
No kidding.
In competitive cornhole. Not just like drinking beer out in the parking lot.
Right. State ranked.
I thought you were going like to coaching or something,
state
but
state
cornhole.
Ranked cornholio.
Cornhole in bags, baby. That's what we do.
State ranked cornholio.
That right there is the perfect line to end the show on tonight. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world class shows at Hard Rock Live.
That's
award winning dining.
That's Big Seth Cornholio.
Council Oak. I am the great Cornholio. And much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Grieper, Jimmy Garcia, and Matt Wilson, our radio booth engineer, Stephen J. Gray, and our postgame engineer was Steph. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game was 20-7, the Dolphins. DJ Preesh in the house sending out videos for us today.
Preesh! With the pizza and the postgame
pizza
sets.
And the postgame
sets. You
might get a game ball for that.
Let's go.
Dolphins football is going to be back on the air for week 2 from Baltimore. The Dolphins will take on the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.